But if we ever needed a message of the hour, we need it now. And we heard one last night. We heard the message of the hour. I fully believe that. But you know, I might say this. I thought Brother Roy preached right down the line, used a scripture that I thought sure I would use, and he come along and done a wonderful job preaching that. And I enjoyed it out of measure. If you didn't get nothing out of it, you didn't listen. Amen. You didn't try, because it's right on time. But we're here tonight as we are, and I was thinking, Lord, just let me preach on the Holy Ghost to begin with. And God spoke to me, and He said, no, preach on something else first, because there's a lot of people not ready for the Holy Ghost. So we wound up with a little scripture. We'll go to the book of book of John, the first John, and we'll be reading a few verses of scripture here. And then we'll be going around here and there. You might not want to stand. We're going to be jumping a little bit here in the reading. So pray and believe God with us. And we'll read from verse 1 of the first book of Little John. You got your Bibles? You ready to read? Here's what he said. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. We see that's true. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and heard, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested in us, to us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. I believe that, don't you? That those men of God declared everything that God required them. That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is that message, verse 5. This then is that message which we have heard. He's going to tell us what the message was. Of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, I want you to hear this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. How true that is. A lot of people not ready to repent. It don't matter what to do, they just won't repent. I don't understand why, and I know why too, that folks don't repent. It's strictly a trick of the devil. Amen. Yes. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, here's the secret. If we confess our sin, a lot of people say, well, I haven't done anything wrong. We got more of that than I ever heard in my life. Amen. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I like that. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, amen. He said, if we walk in the light, in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. Did you know, I'll be honest with you, that the church was not too full of fellowship. Some folk like for you to fellowship them, but they don't like to fellowship you. Huh? I like for them to come my way, but forget about going the other fellow's way. They've got a lot of jealousness in the world. The devil knows what to use. He knows what to use. Amen? He's on the job. But Jesus is also on the job. But I'm going to tell you, these kind of things has got a lot of people's back to the wall as far as having victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got another scripture that we're going to go to here quickly and read a little bit. Amen. Thank God. In the book of we'll get it straightened out here. Second Corinthians, I believe it is. Here we are. Second Corinthians. And begin to read now at the 13th verse. Is what it said. Second Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Verse 13. Now, for recompense in the name, in the same, I speak. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians here. And he made it very plain. Now, for the recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also in law. Be ye not unequally yoked together. I want you to pay attention. See, he's telling the church here what to leave alone and what to put on. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, listen to this, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now you see, just one little light will penetrate darkness. It'll change the whole situation. So, he's telling us how to live, how to walk, and how to conduct ourselves if we listen to it. Amen? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, and I will be their God, listen to this, and they shall be my people. Amen. Now, I hadn't got no part, no place in a lot of the world. Somebody said, well, do you think you could go and get by? I probably could go and get by, but I don't know how many people I'd have been while I was there, because they never saw me there. I could go to a ball game, but hadn't been to a ball game in a long time, not fighting ball games. Whatever you are, you be that. Whatever you are, you be that. But I know if I'd go to a ball game that there'd be such a disturbance where people knew me that they'd absolutely had to interrupt a ball game. I wouldn't say it'd send me to hell to go, but offense to someone, it might send me to hell. Because preacher, you can't help what people do and you can't help what people say. Let me tell you something. Get off of that stuff. Get off. Oh, I don't care what people say about me, preacher. If you don't, you need to get saved. Amen? It's just that simple. Well, you know, they know all about it. If they can get saved, if they want to, and if they don't, that's up to them. Well, that wasn't the way Christ looked at it. That wasn't the way the early church looked at it. They started this thing, and they worked daily. They sold out lock, stock, and barrel and went out and worked to see this church grow as it did in the early church. Yeah. And folks, we got a job on our hands. Let me tell you, I said we've got a job on our hands. Some folks are living under condemnation every day. Going to church every time the church doors open, and just as condemned as can be. Would you just bear with me? I don't mean to scold anybody. I don't mean to be mean to anybody, but I mean to try to obey God and what He has dealt with me. And I pray that you will just kind of stay with me, stick around, because I know, and you know, that we need to move up different. As preached last night, made very plain. Wherefore, come out from among them, amen, in verse 17, and be ye separate. What did that say? You know, I hadn't got any business going to a lot of places. If it's worldly and worldly entertainment and something that you have to scuffle your way through and see a bunch of garbage, hear a bunch of garbage, let me advise you now. You better read the Bible and you better pray. Because the devil's going to have your back against the wall if he hadn't already got it. I said he's going to have your back against the wall if he hadn't already got it against the wall. So, in verse 18, and I, if you come out, I'll receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Well, He's talking about a separated people. He's talking about coming out from amongst the world and being separate. We got one little scripture here that we'd like to read in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Here's what he said. He said, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be, listen to this, willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, do you see it? Do you understand it? Ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What did he say? He said, come out. Be ye separate. Be ye separate. I felt in my spirit, and I feel bold to say this, and God has dealt with me, and He's told me that there'd be a number of people in this meeting that would come that is not where they need to be. They got no victory. They've got no courage. They've got no power with God. But still, they've got it in their mind that they're going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
And they want to go. But they don't want to pay the price. I can tell you, folks, if we sin, there's an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But who's looking for that today? Come on, help me. Who's looking for that advocate? Not very many people. Very many people, if you confront them with their wrongdoing, they'll tell you that they hadn't done anything wrong. Amen? And they'll let you know right quick that they'll tend to their business and you tend to yours. But somebody is going to be lost because the devil has robbed them out of their joy. He has robbed them out of their right living. And they go to church, and they're so nervous because church is going to last too long. The song leader's not doing right, and the piano player's out of time, and nothing going right. And some come, and they eyeball somebody in that congregation that knew what they done last week. I hope I can stand before you tonight with a clear conscience. Amen. That I'm being what I say I'm being. And intend to go all the way. I mean that with men and women. I feel very clear tonight to speak for myself. Amen. Thank God that you can't look on me, amen, and say, well, I saw you doing this, and I saw you going there, and I saw... I'm not boasting about this. I'm trying to tell you that it takes something to keep the joy. It takes something to keep God in your life. He won't dwell in an unclean temple. Oh, yes, preacher, I feel like I could do this and do that, and it won't be no wrong. It don't matter how I dress. It don't matter how I look. It don't matter where I go. And we're gonna take a vacation and bless your little gizzard. Amen, that most folks go where I wouldn't go at all. Come on with me. Amen, I ain't got no part there. Amen. Are you born again?
Yes.
Are you separated?
Yes.
Are you ready to go to heaven?
Yes.
Do you want to go to heaven? Do you mean to go to heaven?
Yes.
Praise God. And let me say something else. Are you ready to pay the price to go?
Yes.
Are you ready to lay down some things to go? Listen, folks, God wants us to know this, that if we get out from under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, where it's lost is wherever was.
That's right. Yes.
You know, I feel like saying this. I preached a message on this deal one time, and God has dealt with me to use this tonight. 7 years ago, I was up in a little bench field I've got up here, and I found a bee tree. You know, a little old bee, so little that it don't look like he'd have sense enough to go back to the gum. But friends, he's smarter than a lot of us. And I discovered a bee tree in the corner of my pasture. And the tree was dying. Well, in fact, it was pretty well dead. And I decided I'd catch that swarm of bees, cut the tree, and catch them. And I was always trying to rob bees, and I hope you get something out of this. So my son-in-law helped me cut the tree down, and there was big old yaller bees and a big swarm. Big hive of bees. But when we looked in the opening, and when we opened the tree up, I saw something inside of that tree, and I thought, my, what in the world am I seeing? And I don't know if you know what this is or not, but we have a bigger, we call them the Indian hen, some does, and some the wood hen, and so on and so forth. And so I looked at that object in there that looked like it would weigh about a pound and a half, and I thought, my, in a beehive, right inside. He's a big old bird had got up there, and he's just a big old squab. He'd hung a crack in that hole, wobbling around, trying to get out or to fly, and I don't know what he's doing. But you know, those bees, I guess, stung him just in a, he was fluttering around there with them, and he was a great big bird. And I could see his eyes, and I said, well, what's all of this doing in here? And he was just as natural as he could be. Well, what in the, how in the world did this happen? And I got so enthused about that I paid no attention where there's any honey. I could have cared less where I captured the bees, because God began to talk to me. And why I didn't take that piece of wood and keep it, I was just too much, well, I was just frustrated too much. I had to see what was on the inside of that and how it was fixed. Just a hive of bees. Amen. But when I could see its eyeballs, and it was clear, just like looking through glass, and I said, my goodness alive, I wouldn't want to eat that honey, because this thing's all messed up. But you know, my son-in-law went ahead looking, trying to see if there's honey, and I went ahead looking, because my curiosity is high, and God was dealing with me and said, I want to show you something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I got that piece of wood, and I just had to go in and see what there was to that bird. He is natural. He was just as filled out as he ever was. So I tore in there, and when I got into the bird, he was totally petrified. He had turned to just a beautiful red wood, just like a red oak. And that it was just brittle. You could break it up. If you could stouten up. He was absolutely embalmed. Now I'm trying to get out a point to you. He was embalmed by those bees because they had covered him up with that wax that it don't take them long to make. He fell in there, and they couldn't get him out. They'd have moved him probably if they could, but they couldn't. But I want to tell you people, there's some of you here that you fell in and you can't get out. Amen? And you've died in there. Amen? You've died in there. Come on. A lot of folks dying, you know it? Some done dead. And they had covered him up, petrified him, and went ahead at their bid. Now, if you fell into a place to where you feel like you can't even get forgiveness, you feel like that no one would ever forgive you if you confess to them, and you feel like the whole world's caved in this, but there's quite a group of you here tonight, and you feel like the whole earth is fell in on you, amen, what are you going to do about it? Well, you go, I tell you what those little old bees did. They said, hey, we can't get him out. We're going to cover him up. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Amen. That's why he died on the cross. The things you can't get out, you can cover. Come on. I said, if your back's to the wall, the things you can't move, amen, you can put it in the hands of God. He can cover it with the blood. Amen. He said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from A-double-L, all sin. Oh, hallelujah to God. Friends, I'm going to cut this as short as I can. Because somebody's got their back to the wall. You've got a problem. You've got things you wouldn't confess to nobody. Come on. I'm going to speak it just like God give it to me, like God dealt with me. And I didn't know you'd be here. Hallelujah. But listen, we are confronted with some things that we're going to have to get out from under because we've lost our victory and we'll never get it. We'll never gain it back until we get it covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. We got people, amen, that wants the Holy Ghost. You won't get it, honey, till you get your sins covered by the blood. Don't worry. I don't care how you try. A lot of folks are wanting things, amen, before the time. They're not ready for it. If we'll let the blood of Jesus Christ be applied to our heart and our life and let our sins be covered with the blood of Jesus, I tell you then, we're getting ready, amen, to further our life with Christ Jesus, brother. And until we do, amen, we're just a snake in the nostrils of God. Me, you, and everybody else, I'm not a bit better than you are. Amen. I'm not any higher than you are. I'm still right down here. I'm still striving to make heaven. I'm still working to make it. I'm still working to see you make it. I break down in tears when I thank so many people that one time had victory. They were sweet in their soul. They could hold their head up in church. They could say amen. Amen to the scripture, Brother Roy. Amen. But I see people that's down. And you can tell they're down. And there's things, amen, that's keeping them down. That would be very simple if they just let Jesus, amen, in. And let him cover those sins. They could smile again. Let me tell you, God told me to tell you that there was people here, amen, that got their back to the wall. And the only way you can fix it, amen, is to come to him. If you don't want to tell me, you don't have to. If you don't want to tell somebody else, you may not have to. I don't know about that. There might be some things you did. But if you don't tell others, you may not have to. But I'll tell you one thing you got to do. You got to come clean with Jesus. And you got to repent. Amen. Because one day, my friends, we're going to give an account. And if that sin's in your life, and you ain't got it covered in the blood, if it's in my life, and I ain't got it covered in the blood, Arnold, I'm gone. Amen. The wrong direction. We ain't going to die, girl. Get ready. Amen. Tonight, I said I wouldn't preach long, but there's one thing I want you to know, that I've got a burden for you that's bogged down, and you don't know where.
after a million prayed